Radio Deutsche Welle, Melody Time. Join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello, I'm Diane Erickson, welcoming you to another half hour of popular melodies from the concert and operetta stage. We're getting underway today with a march melody that was created by an unknown hand to honor the memory of a Hungarian national hero, Franz von Rákóczi. This once obscure tune achieved international fame in the stirring arrangement that French composer Hector Berlioz gave it, now known as Marche Hongroise.
Thank you.
Hungarian March by Hector Berlioz, performed by the Orchestre de Liège under the baton of Paul Strauss. Berlioz never got much recognition in his own country, though his contemporaries did acknowledge him to be a brilliant critic and writer on musical subjects. They largely ignored his own compositions. And Berlioz's unique work in the art of orchestration didn't yield him what he sought most, a professorship at the conservatory. And after one failed effort at the opera, he was written off in that field as well. Indeed, the case of Hector Berlioz is nothing less than a tragic instance of a truly revolutionary and innovative artist failing to be understood in his own time. But let's not dwell on tragedy, for how different the case was with our next composer, Franz Lehár. His is the story of every possible dream and expectation of success and fame in the world of operetta come true. And that at a time when the pundits had predicted the death of operetta. A new century was beginning, and along with the old one, the three greatest masters of Viennese operetta, Strauss, Suppé, and Mölleke, had exited the world's musical stage. Yet just then an already not-so-young Franz Lehár came along to breathe new life into an allegedly moribund musical form. With his first operetta, The Merry Widow, 35-year-old Lehár immediately stepped out to the front of an operetta renewal right at the beginning of the new century. Soon the melodies of the new king of operetta were being played everywhere, as in this waltz arrangement of themes from The Merry Widow, Ballsirenen, Sirens of the Ball. The Vienna Folk Opera Orchestra under Franz Bauer Teufel, with wonderful melodies from the pen of Franz Lehár, an arrangement of themes from The Merry Widow, entitled Ballsirenen, Sirens of the Ball. Those were the kinds of melodies that made Lehár a household name worldwide. And then, to everyone's surprise, having turned out hit after hit for some 2 decades, Lehár suddenly began to give his heretofore sunny and carefree entertainments tragic endings. The culprit in this transformation of Lehár's dramatic philosophy was believed to be none other than Giacomo Puccini, the composer of so many tragic operas, with whom Lehár had struck up a close friendship. There were stories of the two men trying to trump each other with Leharisms and Pucciniisms, respectively, in four-handed improvisations at the piano. Evidently, these sessions did not have a parallel counter-effect on Puccini's operas. There is only one that does not end tragically, Gianni Schicchi, a one-act creation in the finest tradition of the opera buffa. Its story concerns a rather harmless episode of testament forgery, which leads to an eventual happy ending for a young couple in love. But the rather slight story is also a vehicle for some gorgeous melodies, such as the aria O mio babbino caro, sung by Montserrat Caballé. A memorable melody from Gianni Schicchi by Giacomo Puccini. The vagaries of musical fortune are sometimes enough to strain a person's sense of justice. On the one hand, if a composer is famous, nearly every note of his output is guaranteed a place of honor. Then there is the other kind, the composer who toils at his art only to have all but one piece from his lifelong efforts ignored or forgotten. Music history is full of such one-hit wonders. One such victim of fickle public taste is the French composer Benjamin Godard. He had made a name for himself as a violinist and violist, as well as a professor of ensemble playing. But he left those careers behind when he caught the composing bug, alas, with little success. The list of his compositions is a long one. It includes operas, orchestral, chamber, and piano works, plus over 100 songs. And yet it is merely a single melody of Benjamin Godard that has survived, the Berceuse, from his opera Jocelyn. Neville Marriner conducts the Stuttgart Radio Symphony Orchestra. With this berceuse from Benjamin Godard's Jocelyn, we've landed in Paris, and that's where we'll stay for the rest of the show. Emil Waldteufel is the composer of the Pepi Polka we will hear next. Strasbourg was his birthplace, but Paris became his adopted home. Just how much he took to the infamously carefree life of that city is reflected in the polka's title, Joyeux Paris. Actually, that was a substitution for the original title, La Cinquantaine, which has something to do with being a 50-year-old. As court composer and director of his personal orchestra, which just happened to be the leading orchestra in Paris, Waldteufel was the toast of the town. Maybe he changed the title because he didn't want to call attention to his own approaching 50th birthday. Or else he wanted to avoid potential confusion with the similarly titled Opus of Arrival. We'd like to serve up Emil Waldteufel's confection as dessert on today's menu of light classics. Alfred Walter leads the Czechoslovak State Philharmonic. With warm greetings from our production team in Cologne, author Barbara Anders, editor Dieter Klave, producer Rick Volker, and studio engineer Ingrid Schober. I'm Diane Erickson. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time for Melody Time, a production of Radio Deutsche Welle, Cologne.